everybody, and welcome to Connectivity episode 300. Whoa! I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, joined, as always, for the past 50 episodes. We got to 50,
roughly.
John.
Yeah.
And John Raridan is here for episode 300, our 50th in this latest reboot of Connectivity.
Yes, we produced 50 episodes, even the ones that we weren't on. We were still like executive producers on, so yeah. It counts.
And DeFreitas didn't show up until a little later. So
yeah.
we'll celebrate his 50th, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
Alex,
several
figure
years.
Out when that is. Yeah. But anyway, joining us, special guests, hosts of yesteryear, we have from, I guess, the OG crew, Scott Thompson.
Hey, OG crew. I guess that's what it would be.
Yeah, I mean, we could go further into newscast land, but that's for when I coaxed Nathan Mustafa into answering the metal-related listener mail we got a couple months ago, which is going to happen. That goes out to the person who wrote that email in. It's going to happen. Nathan's going to come back. We're going to get him to come back and podcast and talk about whatever Apple Arcade game he played in the past 6 months. we also have from Gen 2. I guess that's the way to phrase it. Nick Bray.
Hello, everyone. Hello. I'm back for one episode.
Yeah.
Is that Connectivity gold and silver? Would that be
gold?
Yeah.
And then I guess Adam would be crystal, maybe. I don't know. The blue coin cast is ruby and sapphire because that's the bad gen, right?
I hope Xander and Brett aren't listening to this. We love you both. And we're sorry.
We're topical, John. We're Diamond and Pearl, soon to be replaced by Black and White. And then there will be a sequel to that everybody loves, but it's like $150 to ever play.
We're the one that people have a lot of nostalgia for, but then didn't like when it got remade too accurately to the original.
I'm saying you can go look at all our coverage of Pokemon Shining BDSM.
Brilliant Diamond Shining Masochist.
Yeah, but we're just going to kind of talk, be a little loosey-goosey, talking about Connectivity over the years and what we remember from when the show launched back in 2011, when we hit episode 100 in 2013, episode 200 in 2016, and then episode 300, which is today. There were several gaps there, which is why it widens every 100 episodes from like 2 years to three to five.
We're like the Doctor Who of podcasts. Some weird gaps, but it's all one continuous canon. We never move anything into legends. It's all canon.
Maybe we recorded it regularly, but we only release them now just for fun.
It's actually, it's just the case that we have a really lazy editor. It's all Alex's fault. He's been secretly editing the show the entire time.
We could say our Divinity 2 campaign, Scott, that could be like a lost season of Connectivity.
Yeah, for sure. There's at least like 10 or 15 episodes worth of content in there somewhere.
I mean,
maybe
Andy there. Grant might have been on an episode, I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think so.
Probably. he was on staff during a time when the show was regularly happening, so
yeah.
I would assume. But I guess first off, Scott, I think the last time it's been a while since you've like officially done anything for NWR. So what have you been up to since then?
Oh my God. What year would that have been? That had
like
to be
2016? Because you were around for a little bit of Wii U, I think.
2016, the Wii U was almost dead. So
yeah.
Which is still a little bit of Wii U, but
because it had to have been, I bet 2015 was when I kind of bowed out, because at that point Elliot, my second kid, would have been just about one, and then I already had Tegan, my daughter, so she would have been about four. So I think at that point, that's finally when life was like, okay, like it's kind of too hectic to try to do all this. I had graduated college, I had like gotten like a real job, and so it was kind of like, all right, yeah, I can't, I don't have time as much for this anymore. God, so what have I been up to? You know, kids, got a new job, relocated. Across the state, which was fun, streaming off and on here and there, just kind of for fun, and just playing lots of different games, I guess. That's pretty much been it.
How about you, Nick? I mean, it's been a little more recent because I think I want to say, was it like 2018 might have been?
Yeah,
when...
probably that's sort of when I like stopped, like it just sort of fizzled out, and I stopped doing stuff for the site regularly and stuff like that. Mainly just to, I don't know, I didn't really have the motivation and stuff anymore for various things and various reasons. But in more recent years, I guess this year, well, it's not all good news, really. It's like, you know, became redundant from my job and that sort of thing. So it's been not fun. So
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah. It was only recently, actually. But yeah, the TV station I worked at decided to move like the last bit of the control room and all that to Brisbane and Sydney. So it's like basically just the newsreaders still at where I live, basically. They moved into a small new studio. Gaming-wise, I haven't really been playing that much, really. The last game I really got into was Alien Isolation, I think back in January this year.
That's the the DS one was Infestation.
No, Alien Isolation is the newish one.
It came to Switch. It got ported to Switch like a year or two ago.
Yeah, yeah. It came to Switch like a couple years ago, and I bought it last Christmas on a sale or something.
That's a crazy good port.
It is, like, yeah.
It looks good. Incredible.
It's really scary. It's a really scary game. I was kind of hesitant to get it for a while because I was like, am I going to play this for 10 minutes and then not play it? But I actually ended up finishing it and it was really good. So yeah, I highly recommend it.
It's a fantastic game.
Yeah, I'm too much of it. I mean, that's a first-person game, right?
Yeah, yeah. It really it's a first-person game, but it really brings you into feeling like you're the character. I think it's like some of the actions you have to do, like turning levers and stuff. You've got to do multiple sort of button combinations and things, and it really brings you into the universe and stuff through the set design and the sound design. Sometimes early on in the game, I'll just hide under a table for like literally 5 minutes waiting for the alien to try and leave me alone, but it never did. And it was just like the tension was so high. So you have to like play it in shorter bursts and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how I just feel about horror stuff in general, and that like I super appreciate horror movies and horror games, but I'm definitely a little bit of a scaredy cat at heart. So I need to like pick my battles. And I've kind of realized like Zombie U, as far as like a first person game goes, like that was such a good balance of it worked for me. Yeah. But I found that like when I've tried to play Resident Evil 7 and from why I haven't really gone to Alien Isolation at all is that the first person horror stuff, like I don't really want a part of that right now. Even if I've heard both of those games rule.
Mm. Yeah, they are really good. Yeah, I guess it's just a different mindset. I mean, watching a horror movie, it's kind of like a roller coaster, whereas like playing a first person horror game, I mean, it's like a haunted house. And it's like those are two such different sensations.
Like third person horror games don't bother me as much, but it's definitely that, especially the well done first person horrors. Like I can appreciate Alien Isolation for its strengths, but I'm not in a rush to play it.
I would say if anyone does play it, drop it down to normal for your first run. That's what
it's hard.
That's what I did, and I'm glad I did, because even on normal, it was like fairly hard still later on.
Yeah. there were some frustrated, like just I'm quitting for the night moments playing through that game.
So let's get to the little bit of listener mail that we have, and then we'll get into the main thrust of the episode. First off, I'll admit when I'm wrong. For the two people that contacted us regarding Halo, do they play it for the single player or the multiplayer? The final tally is 2-0. People play it for the campaign. I'll lick my wounds. I'll acknowledge that I'm wrong. However, I will also share that we talked before the show, and Scott's on my side.
I'm going to edit this part out.
Making that note now.
Yeah,
I think it just depends how much of the games, and especially like the extended games. What's the one that's more like squad based where you're not Master Chief?
ODST.
Yeah,
like people love ODST that one, right?
Has a really good story.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think ODST. Like, once you start getting those games in and you kind of understand more of the lore, I get it. I could see being into the story, but I think if you just play the main games and don't really think about it very much. Yeah, I don't think there's much to appreciate there. I don't know. But I think that's by design, too. I mean, having co-op multiplayer built like into the game like that, like you just can't really do a super story focused thing without just taking away from it. I think it's a good balance. It's there if you want it, but it doesn't beat you over the head.
Yeah.
Yay, Halo.
Yay, yeah, Halo.
I still haven't played it since we last talked. I've not played the multiplayer yet.
As the pro Halo campaign person on the podcast, I will say I've played a crap ton of Infinite multiplayer, and it is really stinking good.
That's awesome. That one of these days, I'll play my Series X again.
I've been playing it like almost every night, so odds are if you hop on some night, I will play with you.
The other bit of listener mail that we have is from Chariot Goblin. Thanks for writing in. Hey, Connectivity, congrats on reaching 300 episodes, but also 50 episodes for this epic Neil and John Connectivity reboot. With Mario Golf Super Rush ending free updates, what next sport do you think Mario and friends will play next? Could Strikers or baseball come back? Will the streak of unfinished and lackluster Mario sports games continue? Thanks, and keep up the great podcasting. Side note, Star Fox Zero for the win.
I think, and Neil, you won't support me on this, but I think with the incredible lack of Madden on Switch, the opportunities are ripe for
Mario American football.
Yeah.
Math. Like, I feel like you can look at like some E3 wish list from like 12 years ago on Nintendo World Report that I want to say it was either Andy Gergen like putting it in his and me being like, I don't think it's going to happen, but that'd be great. Or me also having it like in a different year. But I would love to see Mario American football. It's never going to happen because football has, it is basically nothing outside of America.
Wasn't it pitched back like in the mid 2000s, like around the time Strikers came out? I can remember like rumors or like people talking about there was some pitch from somebody, but it got shot down.
There was Next Level Games, I believe, pitched a Super Mario Spikers that was volleyball.
Right.
Which I'd be down for. You know, that's going to be my answer, is let Next Level, newly owned by Nintendo, let them make Super Mario Spikers. Because I will say, a GameCube game that kind of rocks is Sega's Beach Spikers. Mm. So the potential for a good arcadey volleyball game is definitely there.
I mostly just want a football game so it can have a story mode where it's really unclear if Funky Kong has been vaccinated yet.
Well, no, and then he's gonna break his toe, and people are gonna think it's COVID toe.
Yeah, but he's like, no, it was a surfing accident. I lost it in the war.
Yeah, Funky Kong. You know, he's Funky Kong's got those three MVPs, but then you hear him talk about things other than football, and you get concerned.
Yeah,
I just love that we've established that Funky Kong is the Aaron Rodgers of like the Mario / Donkey Kong universe.
Listen, okay, Donkey Kong 64, Funky Kong 100% voted for Trump. I'm just putting that out there.
Because he's a weapons dealer?
Sure. Yeah.
Funky Kong is the kind of person who was like super liberal in the 80s, and now, like, basically Joe Lieberman. Like, he's against video games now. Flip-flops parties.
That makes sense.
Not to get political.
No, not at all. Yeah. You skirted it pretty easily, so yeah.
This of all of the podcasts focused on Funky Kong, this is by far the most political Funky Kong podcast you will ever hear.
But so if Funky Kong is Aaron Rodgers, is Donkey Kong like Peyton Manning?
You've gone beyond my sports knowledge, so I can no longer contribute.
So Diddy's probably Eli then.
Sure.
Dixie's a woman, so she can't play football.
Correct.
She's like the reporter that Brett Favre was texting pictures to.
K Rule is Tom Brady. I don't know.
Well, that'd be interesting though, because if you did a football game, then you could have Bowser Jr. get concussed, which is why he thinks Peach is his mom. So we kind of bring in a whole lot of
fix that bit a little.
That'll explain it. Yeah.
It was also like finally give Chargin' Chuck really like a moment to like come to terms with his identity.
Chargin' Chuck would not be playable.
He would not be
in the game at all. And like he'd be the referee. You guys set this up 30 years ago and you're not even going to deliver on it. And they're like, no, he threw baseball. So he didn't play football.
He's a
like
baseball.
Dummies.
Chargin' Chuck is a bounty hunter. What don't you understand?
But I do. I mean, another one is there was Mario Sports Mix, which is secretly kind of solid. The Square Enix made Wii game that came out like late in the system. When we talk about connectivity in 2011, that actually, no, it would have been before that because I think it was early 2011.
Yeah.
But Mario Sports Mix has a pretty good ice hockey mode in it. And I would definitely be down for Mario hockey. And you could have like the tall, normal, or like the skinny, fat, normal guys from NES ice hockey as like unlockable hidden characters.
Yeah, well, and still like have all the characters separated into those three categories. Even if they're not, you know, 100% those.
Or it'd be like Starbucks sizes, it'd be like tall, venti.
or not. You could not.
But yeah, you just take like Mario Kart logic and just apply it to that. Yeah. You got medium, light, and heavy.
I mean, you just can't call them fat. It's 2021. Come on, John.
Listen, it's Nintendo. They're not always the most progressive when it comes to these things.
You're not wrong.
They definitely still call them fat.
Yeah. It's like some article about Mario. It's just being like, look at his belly.
Mario hasn't been fat in a long time.
He's been svelte.
Yeah.
He's taken up Pikachu's training regime.
Yeah.
I actually love that. It's just like the one asset from like 1995 where Pikachu's just ginormous and has lingered for so long.
It's that one high school picture of him that's just come back to haunt him every year.
So does anybody else have any Mario sports games that they'd like to see happen?
I was trying to think of a sport, but I can't really think of a good one. Hockey's good. Ice hockey would be
I mean, anything where you could do some arcadey stuff. Yeah, I think volleyball is not bad. I mean, I would kill for another Strikers. I don't think you could do American football. You couldn't make it serious enough to like get any attention from people who play Madden. And I just think even arcadey enough, like people just, I don't know if there's like a demand for it.
Well, the great thing about Switch is that there's no competition.
Yeah.
Well, true.
I think a good arcade football game, I think there's a market for it. It's just that I don't think Nintendo's going to be the company to greenlight it for, I mean, the key reason that like hockey has more of a presence in Japan than American football does.
Yeah.
There's a reason why we keep on calling it American football in this conversation. Because, I mean, like, you know, they play their games in London or whatever, and there's inevitably going to be a team in London probably in the next 10 to 15 years. But it is the biggest sport in America, but it is not extended worldwide yet. But let's go down memory lane to the quaint time of 2011, when Connectivity from NWR Newscast, it was reborn from the ashes of NWR Newscast, which I think started in 2009. But Connectivity, 10 years ago, almost, on September 24th, 2011, Connectivity launched. And Scott, I believe you basically came on staff to like be on Connectivity and be an editor.
Yeah, we Newscast was still going on, and you guys needed a new editor for Newscast.
I think Sklens was leaving. Was Sklens sticking around?
He stuck around, but maybe he just couldn't edit anymore. I don't know who edited it before me. But like that was the position, was like podcast editor. And so I remember coming on, we did like a dry like practice run just to see, you know, that I could talk, I guess, and form sentences.
it was
touch and go there for a minute, but I pulled through. And so I was on Newscast. Like we continued Newscast for a while. And then I think at some point there was just conversation about kind of rebranding and starting something new. And maybe it was particularly because there just wasn't much that Newscast was supposed to be news focused, right? I mean, that's the idea. And I think at that time there wasn't a lot of news because Wii was on the outs and like we didn't really know about Wii U. So it was like, well, you can't really do a news podcast when there's no news. So yeah, we had the idea to rebrand and try to get more of the staff involved. So that was the idea of Connectivity, right? Like have these individual small segments where they're bite-sized and you can get, you know, one person on to talk about this game that they, you know, just previewed and get someone else to talk about, you know, something else, talk about stuff that's not even Nintendo related. I mean, you mentioned Doctor Who, John. I mean, that's certainly ingrained in the DNA of Connectivity among many other things. So yeah, so that's where that kind of came in and we kind of ran with that.
Yeah. And 3DS would have been, I mean, Connectivity would have started right after the Ambassador program happened. You know, first couple months of 3DS, that kind of weird doom and gloom. I do have this memory because it still makes me laugh to this day. The last episode of Newscast was episode 69.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
We didn't necessarily, I don't know if we did that on purpose. Maybe we did.
So Connectivity stops at episode 420. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No.
Oh. Yeah, we should start planning for that rebranding now.
That's all right. That's like another 15 years away, so.
Yeah.
That's true. That's like, yeah, at least one more reboot before we get to that.
But Wii was basically dead. And it was, I mean, it was a transitory time in Nintendo's era. The Wii U was still over a year away. I think we had optimism for the Wii U back then.
Yeah, of course. It was going to be HD Wii.
I'm still optimistic.
Yeah.
I think they can turn it around. Yeah, yeah, there's time.
I like this period because, like, the games that were coming out were, like, kind of cool, like Donkey Kong Country and, like, you guys didn't get them right away, but the Operation Rainfall games as well, the RPGs, Xenoblade, and The Last Story, and I'm sure there's more games that I'm forgetting. Can't remember if Klonoa was the in other. There too.
You can forget Pandora's Tower, that's okay.
I was going to make a point of, like, Pandora's Tower isn't that bad, but it is soundly the worst of the Operation Rainfall games.
I still haven't played it, so.
Yeah, if it hadn't been undeservedly grouped with Xenoblade and Last Story, then I'd probably be like, that's an okay game. But compared to those two, like, incredible RPGs, no.
I think I gave it, like, a 7. I think I reviewed Pandora's
Tower.
That's
probably fair.
Yeah. Like, I don't hate it. It's just that, like, guess what? The Last Story and Xenoblade kicked the crap out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Last Story is really good. I like how, like, it was basically 20 hours or less as well. It was nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's short, such a streamlined action RPG. It's so good.
And then Sakaguchi had to go and mess it up because the first half of Fantasia, he's just like, it's a brisk 20-hour RPG. And the second part that they came out with, he's just like, it's 60 hours. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. I was so excited. I was like, he's just going to have two 20-hour RPGs back to back in a year. And then, like, the last one, he's like, we made it way harder. And I'm like, no, that's not what I want. I
didn't even realize that game was split into parts. I just thought it released as a full game.
Well, I mean, because it was an Apple Arcade, it's not like you can individually buy it.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason why the first half came out before the second half was because they had to put out the game at some point.
They had to release something, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it is, like, kind of weird how the first half... I haven't actually touched the second half, but the first half is relative... It's not self-contained, but it definitely feels like I was not necessarily, like, need the second part right now after the first half. And then hearing how long it was and how some of the focus was on difficulty made me a little unexcited. It's tough because I think some of the money, like, there are some Apple Arcade games that Apple poured a lot of money into that makes me think that it might be very difficult for some of them to come over to Switch. There are a lot of Apple Arcade games that have made the jump, but all those deals are different, where some of them are just like, you know, 6-month exclusivity, or, you know, in like the Shantae game, it was the first part of that had to be exclusive. And then when they released the second part, it was like the same time as it hit other platforms.
Yeah.
It all depends on what those contracts are. And I think, unfortunately, Fantasian might not be one of those contracts that has that kind of freedom. But I hope I'm wrong, because that sounds like a game I would rather play on Switch than the iPad that I got from Grant. Grant Buell, because I'm an Android user, so I don't have access to Apple Arcade on my phone.
Yeah, hopefully one day. So far, all of the Apple Arcade Switch ports have been, like, exceptionally good ports.
Yeah,
so it seems like a very appropriate platform for Switch. So hopefully it'll
Alba's
make
got
it.
Some jank to it, but Alba's such a delightful game. Yeah, that I'll excuse it.
All of the ones that I reviewed,
yeah,
have been, like, flawless.
Anything else to say about 2011? The iPhone was a thing then.
I can barely remember. Really, I didn't really look anything up before we started. Sorry, but
I mean, how old were we during 20? Like, I was 23.
Yeah,
I was 19. Yeah, I had just graduated high school.
I was 24.
Yeah, 24. Yeah,
yeah. I pulled up a list of, like, games that had come out in 2011 and kind of, like, circled the ones I kind of played during that time. So as far as Nintendo, like, all I'm seeing, so Skyward Sword, I think we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge.
I love that game.
Yeah. Mario 3D Land was 2011.
Yeah. 3D Land is really good.
So, yeah, like, 3DS was just killing it. Ocarina of Time came to 3DS. That was big. And then I've got on here, well, Mario Kart 7. And then Rayman Origins came out on the Wii at that time.
Okay.
And that game ruled. And then eventually Rayman Legends, which we actually will talk about because that was 2013, which is another year we'll talk about.
Yeah, because that kept on getting delayed.
Yeah. So yeah, so Rayman Origins was great. I mean, it took like what New Super Mario Brothers was doing and just like, in my opinion, like ramped it up. I mean, I loved Rayman Origins.
Yeah, it might be. It's a little floaty, but it might overall be the better of those two games.
Yeah, just so like creative.
Yeah.
Which I think they eventually took and like you see more in like New Super Mario Brothers Wii U or whatever. But that's about it. Everything else that I have on my list was all just like stuff that was I was probably playing on PS3 at the time. Portal 2, Arkham City,
Star Fox 64 3D came out.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. I had to double check.
That was, I mean, but that was right before connectivity came out, so it doesn't count.
We did an episode early on. I can't remember the episode number.
We totally did.
Yeah, on Star Fox. I was on that one. It was like probably episode 7 or something, maybe. I can't remember.
It might have even been earlier than that, because I think it might have been, I don't know. Yeah. I do know, I think it was for episode 50 or 100 is when we did the Star Fox 64, like we
reenactment.
The reenactment.
The that radio was, play. Yeah.
That was wonderful. what was it? It was Zach did Peppy and it was perfect.
Yo, he was spot on. Yeah. Yeah, that was perfect. Were you Fox, Neil?
No, was I?
Or was Sklens?
Or did I do Slippy?
Oh my god, maybe. I'd have to go back
to dig
and
this
check.
Up and insert
throw
this
it throw it on the end of the episode.
We had, I think Lauren was in it, right? She had a
She might have been Cat.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, you just let me know when you're ready for Star Fox Adventures, Neil. You can be Crystal.
No, I'm pulling. I'll get my kid to be Crystal.
There you go.
His voice is high pitched right
collect
now.
Collect the bomber for dads to
farm dads.
Oh yeah, I can't remember.
So let's move to 2013. It was, 2 years after. We were still kind of going strong. I mean, I think from 2011 to 2013, we were weekly. I think there was even that era where me and Patrick Barnett did like connectivity news bite episodes around.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was around the hype for Wii U being announced in 2012. Mm. And that was just like, it was too much work. We did like two or three 20-minute episodes a week, I think, for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, that's 2 years, so you had to be doing at least an episode a week to hit that.
Yeah, well, unlike some of the other hosts that have taken over, I made sure we were every week, no gaps. I really just,
But yeah, so 2013, I would say that was probably the peak of the 3DS, and it was the Wii U's first full year. I have in the notes, fucking yikes, bro, which honestly deserved. That first full year of the Wii U up until, I mean, like Super Mario 3D World did come out at the close of that year. And I have come around on Super Mario 3D World. Not that I was ever really against it, but I kind of thought it was a little overrated when it came out. But that Switch port has made me fall in love with that game in a way that I did not expect.
Wait, Wind Waker HD was in 2013?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That was the game that was like, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer for Breath of the Wild.
Yep. Yeah.
A game that would release like after the next system comes out.
I went and checked after Scott mentioned it, and I tried to find a game of the year list for me in 2013. This is before I think for 2016 we'll definitely have it. For people who listened to this new run of the show, as John found out live on air, I keep like serial killer top 25 lists for each year in a Google Doc that I like update like monthly.
I thought you were gonna say Lockjaw then, but
no. but I'm finding this through the Nintendo Report Game of the Year doc where I just have what my top 10 were in no particular order. But I mean 3D World's on it, Pikmin 3, Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon, Animal Crossing New Leaf, Fire Emblem Awakening, Runner 2, Pokemon X and Y, that's very generous to that game, Wind Waker HD, Shin Megami Tensei 4, and Zelda Link Between Worlds.
Yeah, that actually wasn't a bad year. And then Rayman Legends was that year as well,
yeah,
I believe.
And like SteamWorld Dig, Tokitori 2, that's a pretty solid game.
That was the weird year where 3D World, Link Between Worlds, and Mario Party Island Tour all came out on the same day. Because like I guess Nintendo didn't like space their releases back then. They just picked a day and they were like, this is the day where you will have games. You will have them no other day of the year.
Yeah, was that just a holdover from like the DS era where like they could just do whatever they wanted and it was always successful? I mean,
yeah, I don't know what the logic. So I know weird. It was like, I think it was the same day the Xbox One came out.
Yeah.
So it would have been, I forget what day of the week they launched then. Because they, since I've been a part of Nintendo Report, they've moved around. They used to have Sunday releases for a while. They've been on Friday retail releases for a long time now. And that might have been the case. They were the week before Black Friday games.
Yeah.
But I think some of that, like, I think I might have even asked in, like, one of our, like, weird E3 interviews with, like, a marketing guy, Nintendo of America, like, asking about, like, why they... There was a while where they did not release games in July. Like, just in America specifically. Like, for example, Pikmin 3... in 2013 came out in August in America, but it came out in June and July in like every other region. And I do remember asking about that. And some of that was like, that was what the retail strategy and like what their research kind of dictated. So I'd imagine that some of the like two or three games coming out in a single day, there was probably some rhyme or reason to that, that you're playing to different demographics. And also maybe something of like, oh, if somebody's going to go and buy the new Mario game, maybe they'll get Mario Party and the new Zelda game as well.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I did buy two out of those three games.
Yeah.
So
I think I definitely bought two of them.
They probably thought that, you know, these games will probably have legs anyway, so what does it matter? People are going to buy
That's
them
true.
For the yeah. next year and a year and a half at least. Like, doesn't matter.
Well, and in the case of 3D World, it probably was just a, like, it's a Wii U game. It doesn't matter. Just put it out there.
We just need something buy it.
Yeah,
but does anybody else have any favorite games from 2013 or even just fun memories?
I mean, I could just tell, like, looking at the list of games that came out that year, like, that was, it fluctuates for me, where there's years where it's like I'm definitely not playing a lot of games on Nintendo hardware, either just because there's not a lot or maybe new other hardware has come out. But like, when I was looking at that list, it's like, yeah, I think everything I wrote down I was playing either on Wii U or 3DS. So, I mean, it was doing well. I mean, I know Wii U was certainly struggling, but when you compare that with what was going on with the 3DS, it wasn't bad. I mean, I think it was an enjoyable time still. You know, Nintendo might disagree, but between the two, I think you got a lot of good games. I don't know. It kind of highlights like how they're in a better place now, because you're not having games split between two different hardware that people might not have. And in the case of the Wii U, people definitely didn't have.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're in a better place now. But I mean, I was playing definitely a lot of Nintendo stuff then.
Yeah. I mean, the 3DS was incredible that year.
Did you say Pokemon came out that year? X and Y?
Yeah. X and Y did.
I liked X and Y. And like Between Worlds. Yeah.
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 I was probably playing more 3DS, but I also really liked 3D World as well.
And Pikmin 3 is really good too.
Yeah.
Dark Moon was that year. Like the 3DS here is incredible.
2013 was the year I moved into my first apartment, and I didn't have air conditioning yet. So I have very fond memories of sitting in a folding chair playing Pikmin 3 on a TV in a very hot room.
You're just naked playing Pikmin 3.
I mean, yes. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's what happened.
You're just dressing up as a Pikmin as you play the game. What color, John?
Yellow.
Yeah.
It's the ears.
I mean, I actually, thinking about it, because of thinking where I was living, that's the year Earthbound came out on Virtual Console. So that was super cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 2013 sucked.
Just the fact that like that game actually getting some kind of acknowledgement from the West, because it basically was like, yeah, Ness would show up in Smash Brothers, and then Lucas bizarrely showed up in Smash Brothers. But the original game just was like persona non grata for a very long time outside of Japan. And then seeing it come back, like that was really cool. That was exciting. Like, I think I kind of remember like there being buzz that like, how come the Nintendo download, like the weekly press release, hadn't come out yet? And then I think there might have been some kind of leak or some kind of like somebody being like, I think something big's happening. And then it turned out being Earthbound.
So did Earthbound only release on the Wii U? It wasn't on the Wii Virtual Console? It missed that?
Nope.
No. Maybe in Japan.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. It wasn't in the US.
Yeah. It might have not been in Japan, because I think, I don't know if this is 100% true, but I think the story always was that there was some kind of music licensing issue with it.
Because apparently they rip off the Beatles, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it got figured out at some point.
Yeah. But I think it came out in Japan because wasn't the deal that what Smash Brothers Brawl did, wasn't there an Earthbound demo, but they removed the demo when it came to the US.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. But the Japanese version has the demo in there. And I think that is only because the actual full game was on the eShop at that point, or the virtual console. But yeah, no, it was the Wii U and then surprisingly onto the SNES Classic. But never, I don't think it ever came to the 3DS, right?
I think it did.
I think it did, yeah.
Oh, did it make it to the 3DS? Okay.
I think so, but it's like new 3DS only because that's what they did with Super Nintendo Virtual Console.
Right, okay.
I always forget that that's a Super Nintendo game. It's really ugly.
You did like a 45 minute video for the Video Game History Foundation on that freaking game.
I did tell them when we did the Star Fox episode, I revealed to them that I hate Earthbound.
were they surprised?
They were surprised. Yeah. But I will say I bought Earthbound on Wii U Virtual Console and gave it a fair shot. And this was actually the origins of me going, oh, I don't think this is very good. So it's, you know, still that's an important fair. Game to my to history.
I intended to play through it, but didn't really get that far. I remember they released the player's guide as a PDF download as well.
Yeah, they did.
And I think, wasn't that the one where, like, there were pages that were, like, crinkled and torn?
Was it?
In the PDF.
Oh, really? I don't remember that. But yeah, they did. And so. you could pull it up on the Wii U control, the gamepad.
Yeah.
And read it there, which is so funny. Yeah.
But could you scratch and sniff it?
I wish.
Master Belch or whatever. Yeah. Well, yours truly gave that a 9 out of 10 on IGN. So, show some respect.
Yeah, that's back when we freelanced with professionals. Scott.
I know. How crazy.
Heady times.
Yeah.
I think Earthbound was actually when I had the weekly This Week in Nintendo Downloads at IGN. I think Earthbound one was one of the first weeks that I ever did. I looked that up recently. I did that for apparently like 2.5 years. I don't think IGN remembered because there was definitely a time where like, I think like Jose Otero, or no, he might not have left, but I think I might have gotten passed over to someone. I forget what happened exactly. But at some point, like no one, like I kept on sending it in and kept on getting posted. And then someone was like, yo, no one looks at these.
Yeah, we've checked the traffic and it's negative. Yeah. We don't know how that's even possible, but
I had a lot of fun with that though. That was a good time.
Yeah, I mean you did that for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I mean thinking back to 2013, like I did kind of, I mean, it was sad from a financial perspective. That was the start of the year of Luigi, I believe, which was like Nintendo's worst year in the past 100 in its entire life.
How fitting it was the year of Luigi.
That son of a bitch.
Serves him right.
But there's a lot of good games that did come out. It's just that I feel like when you look at Wii U, like none of them are in the first half of the year. Like that was kind of the problem, was that there was nothing on Wii U for so long that even by the time stuff like Pikmin 3 and 3D World, and even I think that's like when Wii Sports Club and Wii Fit U came out, which were a little bit, you know, playing the hits on Wii and them not translating as well, or at least translating to sales. It was just too little too late, and that system was ready to just be sacrificed as the PS4 and the Xbox One both came out and did a lot better than the Wii U.
The beginning of the Wii U was weird because all my memories of playing games on it were playing third-party games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like Zombie the games U. I was playing Zombie U, Assassin's Creed 3, Darksiders 2, like everything I was playing was third-party, not first-party Nintendo
Sega
stuff.
Sega Racing. That was pretty good.
That's a good game.
Yeah, that's a good one. Neil and I played a few games of Madden 13 or 14, whatever
it
would have
been.
We were
the only people to play it, but it was a good time.
The servers held up well.
It's the weird
under all
thing.
That strain.
Yeah, there's no server load.
I think I do remember looking at Madden, there was like 35 people were playing it on like the second day it came out. Which, I mean, that explains a lot, but I do every now and then talk to people, even people in covered Nintendo or just a part of the industry back in 2012. And everybody just hates the Wii U launch. Like people are like, I got a review, you know, I didn't even know what to play. And like, I just have a lot of fond memories of the Wii U launch. Like a lot of those games are super fun. It probably did help that I was like, you know, in my first apartment after college and able to play Nintendo Land with like a group of 7 people.
Nintendo Land is so good. It was so fun.
I think that 2013 might have been the first PAX East that you came out to, Scott, or maybe even 2012. I don't know, but I definitely remember you and I finishing Nintendo Air questions and drinking and playing Nintendo Land. And
oh, yeah.
That was a good time. There's a lot of things about Wii U that I hold near and dear. I understand why it was a failure.
Yeah, and I love the launch. I mean, same thing, because that was like a brief period where it was kind of on par with PS3 and Xbox 360. Yeah. And yeah, you got those ports and it was all, you know, pretty okay. And then, yeah, but then PS4 and Xbox came out and it's like, well, you're not going to play third-party ports of those versions of the games. And Nintendo just wasn't releasing a lot. And yeah, it just didn't happen.
So any final thoughts on 2013 or even just that era of 3DS or early Wii U?
I liked it.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially the early years.
The rate that I play games at, it doesn't really matter how packed the release schedule is, because even if there's 5 games a year, I'm still going to have a backlog, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you can just, you know, the quality of those games, because nearly every single one now has been ported to Switch and done well. So I mean, it wasn't like there was a couple.
They were all good,
right? Yeah. There wasn't like a dearth of quality games. It just, people didn't play them.
Yeah, it was a total failure across the board with like the way that system was marketed, the way it came out, the way it was designed. It did not translate to the mainstream market.
I mean,
at all.
The leading story around the time of launch was how long it took to update or do anything in the system menu. Yeah. That's just not good.
And people thought it was an add-on for the Wii for an embarrassingly long time. Not for those people, for Nintendo. The fact that was a point of confusion. I remember. I think it was the E3 it was revealed, which would have been 2011. Like, I remember going on the show floor and being like, oh, that's what it looks like. And people were like, is this just a tablet that you buy for your Wii? Like, that was a debate that people had. Like, I remember taking a picture and sending it to people being like, no, there's actually this weird oblong longer thing that's there that you put your disc in.
And you kind of see how they look at the approach they had with the Wii U and how it has informed the Switch. Because I remember before the Wii U came out, there was so much emphasis on the kind of non-game related stuff you could do. You can video call on it. You know, you can use it
called, Scott.
Yeah, we did. I know. And you can use it to control your TV and find exactly what you're looking for. And I mean, Miiverse was that? No.
Miiverse. Yeah.
That was probably the only thing that really stuck and was cool, although they abandoned it. But, you know, he had all these like auxiliary features which just didn't work well.
I will say, every game controller should be able to control my TV. Because garbage as the Wii U was, I still use that gamepad on an alarmingly regular basis because I lose my remote control.
I need to set up for the... I have not really used it like that, but I actually have been, mainly for virtual console purposes, and the fact that I have a child who's just like, let's play this old game that you showed me once, father. But I should set that up to my TV in my office where I have my Wii U set up, because that would be very convenient, because boy, do I never know where that remote is.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
But it's just crazy to think that we went from that. And then, and then even Miiverse, which was so, I mean, I loved Miiverse and just the ability to like look at specific games and see what people were saying and get hints. Like, it was just really cool.
But the problem with Miiverse is the load times. Like, that's what dragged it down. And it sucks because the concept of Miiverse is still extremely cool. Like, I think it's something that, if done right, I don't think Nintendo will ever bring it back, but like, I think it could actually work.
It could totally work. It's too bad there's no like Nintendo Switch app or something that could be integrated into. That'd be neat.
The problem, I guess, also with Miiverse was they had to like moderate it and employ like, I don't know how many people they would have had doing it, but like pulling
there
down
was a, there
anything,
was a sizable moderation
I would
imagine. Team,
yeah, right? They would have had to have been.
Have you guys read about the AI they wrote to recognize penises?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. They had like an incredibly complex AI that could like be like, that's a penis, and would delete it. And it was like really good at it. Which is probably like my favorite, like my favorite Nintendo game is the penis detector on the universe.
Legendary GOTY 2013 penis detector. Yeah.
But it's just crazy that was such an emphasis at that time and advertised so much with the Wii U. And then I don't know if they attribute that to it not doing well, or they just realized that the overhead just wasn't worth it. But with the Switch, I mean, that just all got removed. I mean, you still can't even, there's not even a Netflix app still for Switch, right?
No, it's just Hulu and YouTube, I think.
And I think there's Funimation if you want to get your anime.
They added Twitch a couple of weeks ago.
And Twitch. Yeah. So it's been like this slow rollout, and that's it. Like no other real like multimedia use of it. No themes. I mean,
I wonder if Hulu's seen any sort of noticeable bump from that. or if people just don't care about streaming on their Switch.
I can tell you 100% that YouTube definitely has, like, my daughter has a lot of her school friends added as friends on her, you know, Switch profile. And, you know, when she goes to them, I'd say nearly all of them, their top thing that they played is YouTube, and it's like over 1,000 hours. So just for kids who don't have tablets or, you know, can't get on the computer, it's like, that's the go-to. So that's huge for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that, like, the ethos that Nintendo went with Switch, I mean, it still is evident there, is after the Wii U and how bloated that was with all these other, like, you know, Nintendo TV and all that crap, Switch is just like, yo, we're going to play your games. Do you want to do anything? Too bad. You can just play there's no folders, there's no media apps, you can just play your games.
Yep. No web browser.
Yeah. But there's like a web browser there because that's how they run their shitty
eShop.
Yeah,
it's built into the system, you just can't use it.
Yeah. You can hack it, I guess. But.
Yeah.
Going back to Miiverse, we also had the with the virtual console, everyone was complaining about the 60 hertz thing in PAL regions as well, which actually got them to fix it. They did it. So, you know, it probably helped. People are spamming all the virtual console games with, we want the full speed games and stuff. So,
yeah.
It was sort of like a direct line to Nintendo, I guess.
How dare you say a nice thing about NSO N64 games? Haven't you heard? They're unplayably bad.
And probably between the Wii U and the 3DS, I mean, that's probably your best bet for just having a collection of retro games at this point. I mean, I guess the Wii to some extent too had a lot, but between the two of those, I mean, there was just so much that they were pumping out for the virtual console and whatnot.
Well, the problem with the Wii is none of it's accessible anymore.
Right. Wii U, you can still download virtual console games, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the Wii U eShop is still up and running. I think the Wii eShop, if you bought it, you can re-download it.
I think that's been shut down completely now. It was for like an extra year or so after they stopped buying it, but I think by now it's definitely gone. Yeah.
Well, if any of you want to just hypothetically were to like hack your Wiis or anything,
have a waking dream.
Have a waking dream where you hack your Wiis. I have this waking dream where I have the entire virtual console in a folder.
That sounds like a pretty wild dream.
It's a crazy dream that I keep having. So if anybody needs that dream, just let me know.
Yeah, we can talk after the show. I got
I'll dream buddy that to you.
My Wii after I bought the Wii U went to my parents, and like my dad actually played
and
Wii
they
Sports
immediately
for a while.
Hacked it.
Yeah, they hacked it. I was like, Dad, no. But they like got like a new TV and like moved around their entertainment center, and just like my dad like stopped over and just gave me a box with a Wii in it. Or no, I think it was like I like was going out to play golf with him, and he's just like, come over here, and it was just a cardboard box with a Wii and a couple games in it, and he's like, you need to take this now.
That's kind of sad.
But on to 2016.
The best year.
Hey.
2016 was a great year if you like the games that I like.
Yeah.
And no, nothing else.
So 2016, otherwise known as like the last year of the Wii U, and I guess the last year of bad Nintendo for a while.
It felt like everything was ending.
Yeah.
In 2016. Like
it was real season finale vibes throughout 2016. But that's when episode 200 of Connectivity happened. It was, as we kind of alluded to, like the doldrums of the Wii U. I believe the four games that came out were like Star Fox Zero, Color Splash, and I don't know, maybe a Just Dance.
Was Mario Tennis Ultra Smash
that year? That was 2015, I believe. Because I think it was Star Fox Zero was supposed to come out that November, and then it got delayed, and Nintendo was like, guess what?
Here's a tennis game.
Yeah. This was the E3 that just had Zelda, and then secretly I think had Color Splash behind closed doors or something. But it was not a great time to be a Nintendo fan, or honestly, not a great time to run a Nintendo website. It's been 5 years. I can be honest about that. That was rough. And I think, you know, kind of talking to Nick and Scott, why you guys probably faded away is because, like, when the Wii U started to fail and the 3DS started to be creaky, it just got real kind of tough to cover Nintendo. Like, there wasn't that much to do because, you know, all of the games were coming out elsewhere. Every now and then you'd get like an indie bone of something cool coming over, and we'd hold on to that for dear life. Like it was like the only, it was like a, you know, the one bane that we're cutting up and sharing amongst ourselves. And it was a time, like, I know during that era, like I played a lot more PS4. I think this was around the time when I got an Xbox One, and like, yeah. I played a lot of Rare Replay. I just stopped enjoying playing the Wii U. Star Fox Zero does rule, but not much else that year was that great on Wii U. And then 3DS Fire Emblem Fates is ass. And right. Metroid Prime Federation Force is great.
It was a slow year, but when you have games like Star Fox Zero and Federation Force, like, do you really need other games? Or like that seems like enough.
I did look up to see what other games came out. Pocket Card Jockey.
You love that game.
Yeah, that might be one of the best games on 3DS. And Picross 3D Round 2 also came out that year.
You also love that game.
Yeah. Didn't we say that Pokemon came out as well? Sun and Moon?
Pokemon Sun and Moon came out in 2016.
And it was also the 20th anniversary celebrations.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's when Red and Blue came out on Virtual Console on 3DS.
Yeah, which is cool.
Well, and then Pokemon Go. I know it's like Nintendo adjacent, but yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, in the summer of Pokemon Go.
And that was huge.
I mean, who had time to play Wii U when you were just out walking around playing Pokemon Go all the time?
Yeah, the summer of Pokemon Go is still something that I don't think, I mean, a little bit because like I'm older now, but like that was probably the last time that I could get away with how I played Pokemon Go as an adult. Because like that summer, like it was like me and a couple friends would like be out like, taking down gyms at like midnight during the week, and I still have that distinct memory of like walking home in my sleepy New Jersey town after like I think it was like we found a Slowpoke or something, and then like it was like with some kids in town, and then like walking down the street like to like go out to like eat with like family or friends or something, and then like some 13-year-old was like, "Hey Neil, what's up?" And I'm like. Oh crap, I should probably stop, this is weird. But I had so much fun that first summer of, I mean, it got me to walk a lot more, which was great, and just a lot of good memories with that. I still kind of play Pokemon Go, it ebbs and flows, just kind of like as the weather's nice, if I'm out and about or like in an area where like I'm like, oh, there's gonna be a lot of Pokestops, I can probably get this gym, or I go to the playground with my kid. There's two gyms that I could just stand in one spot and get both of them. So that's always a good time. But that game is kind of magical. I mean, for as much as I think people that are kind of hardcore in it have a love-hate relationship with Niantic, the company that made it, but there's just something so pure about the basic idea of that game.
I never really got into it. I started it and caught like a couple of Pokemon and then never really touched it. So
it depends where you live.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was fortunate. I mean, I live in a big city by any means, but we had this like downtown area we called the square. I mean, it was literally a square. There were, you know, like bars and restaurants, and like the library was there and like a government building, and it was just like populated with stops and gyms. And I can just remember that first weekend when the game came out. It was like a Saturday night. Tabby and I went and like walked around the square, and just like droves of people. I mean, like probably like at least 100 people walking around, hitting all these stops, like being excited. Oh man, like over on that corner, there's a Pikachu there, like go get him. Like just this excitement, no one going into the bars or restaurants, just everyone walking around. And then eventually you'd see, you know, restaurants and stuff put signs out like, you know, like, hey, like we're a, you know, we're a gym or we're a Pokestop, like come eat lunch.
You can hit three stops at this table.
Right. Yeah. Just sit here, like eat lunch, and you can just like, you know, hit this stop over and over. Yeah, it was just such a big deal. It was so crazy.
Yeah, the store I was working at went very out of our way to, because there were a bunch of like businesses and stuff that were being like, no Pokemon Go. Like, you can't play it in here. Go away. You're loitering. And I remember the store that I was working at was very much like, nah, come on in. Like, come play Pokemon. That's fine. We'll sell you a rechargeable battery for your phone. Like, get in here. We also sell Pokemon cards if you would like more Pokemon.
Oh, if only 2016, John, could have known what was going to come in 2021 with Pokemon cards. You could have made a big investment.
Could have cleaned up.
That is, it's funny to look back on like the culture of Pokemon Go from, I don't want to say post-COVID, but a COVID-adjacent position and be like, boy, there was a time where we all just like got together in giant groups and went wandering around together. That you sounds terrifying.
I mean, one thing they did do, like one of like the Pokemon Go, like... Safari Zone days. Like those are starting to come back. It does seem like I saw I don't know if anybody Joe for him on Twitter. I don't know if anybody else follows him.
Yeah.
He went to one of them. I saw him at PAX Unplugged before the world shut down. considering I've been like Twitter buddies with him for like a decade. That was cool. But he went to the one in Philadelphia. And like that, it seemed like it was reasonably spaced. And people were masked and stuff.
Yeah.
But I did like the hubbub where when the pandemic hit, like they did a lot of like Niantic did a lot of things to make the game like you could do things at a greater distance. You could do like remote raids.
Oh,
like
the remote raids are awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can still do that. And they also had it for Pokestops. It would be like farther away and you could trigger it. They took that away. I want to say, I don't know, it was like 4 or 5 months ago. Just like absolute rioting, and I think it was within a week they put it back,
which, right? Yeah,
I mean, for me it's great because when I'd be waiting for the bus for my kid by the sidewalk by my house, I would be able to hit a stop in the morning without having to go anywhere. And then when they changed the radius, I could not. So when that went back, I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I can get my daily bonus without having to go anywhere. But other 2016 games, I pulled up my weird, it's a top 27 list. Does anybody want to pick a random number from 1 to 27 and I'll tell you games ranked where?
16. 27 games. Jeez. Okay, yeah.
16 with Star Fox Zero.
Hey.
Hey-o. What was 11?
Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix. I will say I disagree with 2016 Neil heavily.
Give us the top 10. Start at 10.
The number 10, Hyrule Warriors Legends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 9, Seventh Dragon 3, Code VFD, which that's actually a pretty solid 3DS RPG. Number 8, Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I enjoy that game quite a bit. Number 7, this is on brand, Madden 17 on Xbox One.
That adds up.
Number 6, Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse, which... you know, I guess every 100 episodes on Connectivity, another Mega 10 game comes out on Nintendo platforms. Number 5, Kirby Planet Robobo. Number 4, Metroid Prime Federation Force. Number 3, Pokemon Moon. Number 2, Picross 3D Round 2. And number 1, Pocket Card Jockey.
If we're branching out to non-Tendo games, then I have to point out that 2016 was the year that both No Man's Sky and ReCore came out.
No Man's Sky
came out 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It's been great the whole time, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Well,
so good. You have no idea how much time I spent playing launch day No Man's Sky. It was so good.
I think when I was working at the time, there were a lot of people excited about No Man's Sky. Then it came out, and everybody unanimously was like, "Maybe we don't get it." Like, we were talking about how like we're gonna play online and everything, and then like reviews came out and the game launched and we were all like, maybe we can play some Pokemon together, like that sounds like a good plan.
I had just a small group of like really dedicated people just in a group chat on PSN, and we were just sending each other screenshots back and forth and having a great time and being like, why don't people like this game? But yeah, it was great. It's even better now, and I think it's on Game Pass. Everyone should play it. But also, ReCore was great because it was just Metroid meets Mega Man meets Legend of Zelda. And it's so good.
I've been meaning to actually finish that game. I put a couple hours into it back when it came out. But I mean, I also got it for like $8. So I didn't really feel that bad about not playing more than a couple hours.
I believe it's also on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Because it's a Microsoft published game.
I think I gave my hard copy when I got my Series X, I gave my Xbox One to my brother-in-law and his family, and I gave them ReCore and told my nephew, I was like, you have to play this game, and I don't think he did. For some reason he's like 9 and playing Grand Theft Auto, which when my brother-in-law told me that, I like raised an eyebrow being like, really?
ReCore is nice and wholesome.
Yep.
Appropriate for all ages.
There's a cute
robot.
Only
shoot robots.
Yep. No hookers.
Not a single hooker.
So now we're at 2021. I guess Nick, is there anything about the past 5 years, video game wise, that or at least since last you were on connectivity, that has been clawing at your brain that you want to talk about?
Not really. I don't even remember what the last episode of Connectivity was that I was on, actually. I don't know. I guess I could briefly go over sort of the demise of the last round, I guess, if you want to hear that. Yeah, it kind of just fizzled out. Like, when I took over Connectivity, my original plan was to sort of be like an overseer and get other people to sort of have their, like, bi-weekly or, you know, every 3 weeks that they would submit a segment to me to edit and sort of build up like a bank of segments, basically. But it kind of didn't really work out that way in the end, just for various reasons. It wasn't, you know, enough to talk about or interest or whatever. Yeah, and then I guess I just sort of fizzled out myself, basically. Just didn't really know what to do with the podcast, so it kind of just ended.
Yeah, it's hard when nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Like, what do you talk about?
You made it to episode 246, which was in 2018.
Mm.
That's pretty late.
That was your last appearance. You were talking about Wonder Boy Dragon's Trap,
right?
Which is a pretty great game.
Wow, that was that long ago as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they've come out with like 15 other Wonder Boy games since then, and I think Dragon's Trap might be the best one.
Yeah.
I think that's always the hardest part, and I think I dealt with that too. You know, you have this grand idea, again, that yeah, you'll get a lot of input and a lot of segments from other people, but then when that kind of falls apart or doesn't happen, then it's just kind of on you. So it's pretty easy to burn out trying to do everything. Yeah,
it was also the fact that I was trying to come up with like ways to make it different to the other like podcasts we had at NWR as well, which was like, I think I got caught up a lot in that near the end. I was trying to think of like, okay, how can I make it different? And the answer was, I don't know. There was no answer.
I mean, our decision was we stopped listening to other video game podcasts and
just
record.
Just don't worry about
roughly
what they're doing.
Once a week. Yeah. Plan it 5 minutes before.
Yeah, Neil and I's consistent mantra has been minimal effort possible.
Seems to be working.
That was our agreement for when we started doing it. It's like, okay, if we want this to happen, it has to be us doing it, and we have to put in no work.
That's the thing. Like, sometimes editing was just like such a drag as well.
Well, and that's, I mean, we have Alex who edits most weeks, whom we love, and makes that element of it just so much easier. Because editing is such a time sink. If you're listening, Alex, we love you.
And the way we used to record with like, you had to sync everything up and stuff.
Yeah. And especially when you start introducing a lot of different people into that process, editing becomes very laborious.
We were editing the Metroid Game Club episodes where you'd have five people all talking over each other at once for 5 hours.
That was a lot.
And see, that's funny, and that's probably what will make this go on as long as you guys want to, because that is pretty much the antithesis to what we were doing when I was editing it, where it was all these like grand ideas and
it's one up.
Well,
man,
those are great episodes.
Yeah,
like that's really fun, but it's, you know, it's just how long,
it's not sustainable.
How much bandwidth do you have to do that,
right,
for hundreds of episodes?
I mean, even the game show stuff, like that was the best. I know. Talking with Andy Gergen, he found the email thread where I believe it was Mike Sklens was like, yo, we should do a Jeopardy episode.
Yeah.
And then that basically fueled, like, I think now, especially in the COVID world that we're in, I guess announcement for any of you connectivity heads out there. I don't really see a world where we ever do Nintendo Wear Live again. That just feels kind of uncomfortable. It was a great, like, damn near 10-year run of, I think, Nintendo Wear maybe more than 10 times over the, or maybe not 10. We've done a buttload of panels, because then Calafi and I had the couple years where we did the Wii eulogy. I think there was the Nintendo Switch's first birthday party at PAX East, which those two panels are ones that are near and dear to my heart, especially John. That fucking Wii eulogy video that you made
stumbled across that randomly on the channel the other day. I don't even know if it's public or if it's just unlisted on there.
Whenever I think about it and find it, then I share it on Twitter. So if it was public,
that may be what it was.
But some people have seen it at least. But like, it to this day, like that is perfect to me. And the, so the Switch's first birthday party was more of a you had to be there thing, because like we legit had a fucking pinata. And I did have ideas. I wanted to make like prayer cards for the Wii eulogy, but I did not do that. But yeah, I mean, like Nintendo Air, and we did do the Jeopardy the one time, and then we did Super Nintendo Password with Perry and Casey at PAX South, which now PAX South does not exist anymore. All of those panels wouldn't have happened without connectivity. And I think those panels, you know, in their heyday, 300, 400 people would show up for Nintendo Air. And one of my favorite things of that is that at the end of every show, and this is when we were doing it for like 5, 6, 7 years in a row, there would be people who'd be like, this is my favorite thing at PAX East. Like, I'd make sure, like, whenever I look at the schedule, I like circle when this is, and I know I'm definitely going to come to it. And I mean, all of that comes from the energy that got put into the show. And I kind of took it and ran with it. But I mean, one, Zach like wrote all the fucking questions.
He was the trooper. Yeah.
And like those, I mean, everybody, you know, everybody involved with that. I mean, Scott, you were there for some of the original ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jane, Patrick, Davey Golf, Dave and Patrick's girlfriends wound up helping out in the later years. My wife, she did a lot of, I mean, she made the PowerPoints and stuff. But that's my little connectivity warm fuzzies is all the panels and shit that we've done that came out of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just remember doing that first one and like seeing, not knowing if anyone would even come, and then just slowly watching the like theater fill up and just being amazed that people even came and that participated, that it worked, that like we got the PowerPoint work. I mean, just all of it. I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
I still remember the one year that some dude who like did like a super overproduced Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing, like came to our panel and like tried to be like, we should join forces for next year. And I just had this thing about like, no, I mean, it's kind of, I guess, the ethos that fuels John and I doing this show now was I was like, no, like this isn't going to work if we try that hard.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The reason why this works is because like we are like finishing the PowerPoints the night before and like looking at a question care. and being like, Zach, this doesn't make sense. but like that just act of putting on a show and having it be, you know, loosey goosey. It has been something that I feel like maybe that's a little bit of the spirit of connectivity and newscast is that like we don't know what the fuck we're doing, but we're gonna try and eventually we'll burn out. It's just inevitable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if we'll be the ones hosting for episode 400.
Or 420. But, I'll come back for 420. 420.
Y'all come back. We'll both be retired from NWR. We'll both be working on our Planet Xbox website. We'll be long gone from the Nintendo scene, but we'll come back. Maybe we'll just take connectivity with us to Planet Xbox.
I mean, they have the connectivity between like the PC and Xbox and the cloud.
Yeah, xCloud is nothing if not connectivity.
Yeah, more connectivity than Nintendo these days.
We'll just make the logo green. Do we own Planet Xbox domain yet? Have
no,
we bought that?
No.
We should buy that.
I believe the story with that was I think it was IGN had like all the planet names. And I think they tried to, but they got pissed off the fact that we had Planet GameCube. but like they had like, and I think Planet and it might not have been IGN, I forget, but there was one company that like had, you know, Quake Planet, you know, all that stuff, and people thought that Planet GameCube was affiliated with it, but it never was.
Oh, sure.
And I think Planet Xbox is still like a thing that exists.
Totally not typing it in right now.
neither am I. Oh, GameSpy. GameSpy must have been the company that had it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Owned
so
by
very
IGN.
Relevant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Multiple layers of irrelevancy to go through to own Planet Xbox.
Yeah, but yeah, Scott, anything about, I mean, you've kind of filled in here and there, but as far as the past 5 years and beyond, any things about video games that you've been wanting to get off your chest?
Oh my God. Emmys are the worst part of Metroid Dread and they're terrible.
Oh, fuck you.
So let's get that out there.
My podcast.
Let's get out
come
there.
Back for 100 episodes.
Well, the game is fantastic. I just can't get with the Emmys. I don't know. It was just frustrating. I don't know. It's just exciting, I guess, to see where Nintendo's at, and they've just found this interesting like niche, I guess. And I don't foresee it going away anytime soon. I mean, you know, if we get the Switch Pro or the HD Switch or whatever you want to call it, I mean, I don't think there's any competition in this kind of hybrid home, you know, handheld market. And so it's just kind of exciting to get them, see them do their own thing. Cause I think that's when they're at their best, is when they're just doing their own thing and kind of paving their way. I think we saw it with Wii. It's what made the Wii stand out amongst, you know, big consoles like the PlayStation 3 and the 360. And I think it's just working really well now, and it's just fun. And I just like where the Switch is at. I mean, whether I'm playing, yeah, like new first party games, or I'm using it as a means to, I guess, explore, like, I guess now retro games that I missed. I mean, we had our house fire last year. I spent 5 months living in a hotel, and like, I used that time to play Final Fantasy X, which I'd never played. I played Final Fantasy XII, which I'd never played. Trials of Mana, which was a new game, but very much feels like an old classic game. Like, there's so much that it offers, you know, no matter what kind of gamer you are, or what experience you're looking for. And I think, I don't know, I just think that's fantastic. It's a great staple here at the home, whether I'm playing it or my kids are playing Fortnite on it or Splatoon or, you know, what have you. It's just exciting. It's good to be on this podcast and be able to end it on a high note, because we've talked about a lot of bad years and a lot of bad things. And it's nice to be like, yeah, you know, Nintendo's doing well right now, and the Switch is in a good place. And that makes me happy.
I always, not to take it down a peg, but
Nintendo's let me give you a downer ending here.
Oh, you want a downer?
Themselves in the foot eventually. Like, let's get real.
Oh, eventually. But like, I think we have a few years.
It's going to be a good run. Like 2025, that's my concern. The next 3 years are going to be rad.
Whatever the follow-up to Switch is, yeah.
They're going to fuck it up.
I don't know.
The Switch U.
What does it do?
There's a game pass.
it's two Switches that are connected to each other.
To be fair, dual screen gaming is what the future should be.
Yeah.
I need my Etrian Odyssey back, guys.
They would do it purely so they can port Star Fox Zero, because that's obviously the thing holding them back. There's nothing holding them back from porting Devil's Thirds except their own cowardice.
Well, I don't think they own the rights to Devil's Third anymore.
Do they
or
not?
Do they?
I think they might.
They might.
I mean, who else wants it? Like, I mean, even if they don't have the rights, is anybody going to stop them from releasing it? Yeah, like, what's to stop them? Like, they don't need the rights. They just have to put the game out and sell it. And, like, nobody's... For somebody to get them in trouble, they would have to claim that they own Devil's Third. Nobody's going to own up to that.
But, really, in the near term, I've been thinking about Pokemon Legends, which is coming out in, like, 2 months. Just the fact that, like, Game Freak is doing something so wildly different and new for, like, the first time since Pokemon Red and Blue. It is, I mean, great, they've done, like, Drilldozer and stuff along those times, but as far as in the Pokemon series, like, while playing Pokemon BDSM, I've been looking at Legends and I'm like, wow, they are, like, I love that they have just, like, the janky old-ass one that gives me the nice nostalgic warm fuzzies. And then they have this like weird new thing that it's probably, I mean, I think it's like sectioned off. It's not quite the open world that Breath of the Wild is, but it looks like Pokemon of the Wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's much closer to that vibe for sure.
I heard someone say that it was more going to be more like Monster Hunter. They mentioned recently that it was going to be more mission based sort of thing. Yeah.
But it's still like, I don't like that might suck, but the fact that it's something
it's
so
fresh.
Weird and new.
It's something different. Yeah.
And I mean, next year, and I mean, there's things that will definitely get delayed and will be pushed out and everything. But there's like that weird Kirby game, Splatoon 3. Some year they're going to have
Kirby
to actually
game. It's
release
like,
that.
Finally, Kirby's 3D has happened. It's finally happened.
And Breath of the Wild 2 eventually will have to come out. And like
Surely that's next year.
I mean, you'd hope.
It's been in development almost as long as the original game now.
Yeah, you'd hope though, but.
We decided to scrap the world that we built. We wanted to make a whole new world. So.
There's still time to cancel Breath of the Wild 2 and give it to Retro Studios. It's never too late.
Yeah,
to
like
just
some
do-over.
Year Prime 4 might be shown. That's cool.
Yeah.
When was the last time Retro had a game? 2013. 2014?
I guess technically Tropical Freeze on Switch, but that's a real big technically.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've helped out on other stuff, haven't they?
I know, but still, like,
I don't know. I believe if we want to talk about old rumors, Labo was something that I had heard after the fact that that might have been something that people spread as a lie.
So,
I mean, they helped with Mario Kart 7 ages and ages ago. Mm-hmm.
Did they not do any track design on Mario Kart 8?
I think they did.
They might have helped out a little bit. Yeah. But even still, that would have been 2014.
And obviously, they, of course, have the fully developed and finished Star Fox Grand Prix.
Of course,
That just was never released.
It was just too good not to release.
Just waiting.
Yeah. Oh, it's, well, they released Star Fox 2, and so, like, well, what are we going to put in the Star Fox box? And they were like, well, we have this game that's done and perfect. And Nintendo was like, great, put that other 10 out of 10 in this box. Okay.
Well, I will say, I don't know if anybody follows Johnny Metz on Twitter. He's going back to Austin to go embed deep into Retro Studios to find out what they were working on.
You weren't supposed to tell anybody.
God, crap.
You
just blew the cover. Shit.
We've hired him as a spy. Wow.
I will some year. It's going to be a long time, probably. But like, I think we talked about this last episode, literally. We'll find out some degree of what happened at Retro Studios between like 2014 and 2021.
Around 2030 or so, someone will mention. Yeah. Like,
somebody has to be willing to talk.
Because they worked on at least one or two somethings.
They had to have,
Yeah. And maybe some of those didn't really go past prototype or whatever, but like, there's like 5 years that are unaccounted for from that
Donkey Kong 64 2.
Donkey Kong 65.
But I think that'll do us for this episode of Connectivity. You can follow us on the Twitters at NWR Connect, or no, shit, at Connectivity NWR.
Weak link.
You can email us at connectivity at nintendoworldreport.com. Send in your listener mail. We like getting us, and cut out with the Halo stuff. I lost. I messed up.
Now I want to know what's your favorite arc in Halo, since you love the story. That's what you need to write in about now. Yeah.
But yeah, send us in. Like, we'll probably do some more game clubby stuff. If you want to see Scott and Nick come back, or other old connectivity folk, just like bug us. Like, we generally keep in touch with everybody. Or at least know how to reach out to them. I mean, find out.
I've still got my email and access to the Slack and everything. So, like, you know, I check it from time to time.
We don't really, like, if you're cool, we don't really kick you out.
Yeah, the people who have had their accounts removed, you know who you are.
Yeah.
You probably aren't listening to this podcast.
But yeah, Scott and Nick, thanks for joining us. It was great catching up with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Always want to talk to you guys more. I miss you. I sincerely miss you both.
Oh, I miss you too. Yeah, I miss this. This was fun, and who knows? You know, maybe I'll come back sooner than in another 100 episodes.
Yeah, I mean,
this will be the catalyst to both of you starting to write for the site again.
Our research has
been so inspired. I've been trying to work up to doing something for the site again. I just haven't thought of anything to do so far. We'll see.
I'll play Final Fantasy 12 someday, and you're coming back, Scott.
Okay, I'm in.
I'm looking for people to research a Buck Bumble documentary. So if you want to come back to the site, that's your first assignment.
Or we could do it. We could do a live show when you come and we see Pup together.
Oh yeah, no, we need to talk about that because I'll really do it.
Yeah, I'm down. I just that's like my one like frivolous pandemic regret was that I was gonna see Pup in like 2019, and I was like, I'll see him next time, and that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to those shows when they come local.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah. So everybody come see Pup in Philadelphia in May. See you there.
Okay. Book your flights.
Bye,
now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.
It's about time you showed up, Fox. You're the only hope for our world.
I'll do my best. Andross won't have his way with me. Open the wings. Check your G diffuser system.
Falco here. I'm fine.
This is Peppy. All systems go.
Slippy here. I'm okay.
I see him up ahead. Let's rock and roll.
Slippy, get back here! Watch out, bogey on your tail!
Whoa, help me! Thanks, Fox. I thought they had me.
We're entering Cornaria City now.
This is horrible.
Everybody stay alert! You've got an enemy on your tail! Use the brake!
I'll get this one. Get the one behind me. Something's wrong with the G diffuser.
Use the boost to chase!
I could use some help here, Fox. I guess I should be thankful.
Do a barrel roll!
Pretty smooth flying, Fox. Follow me, Fox.
Falco, where are you going?
I found the target. Try to keep up. Time for a little payback.
Ah, someone wants to play.
Incoming enemy from the rear! Drop altitude!
Enemy shield analyzed.
Deploy all units! Charge! I've got a present for you.
Slippy's hit!
Aim for the open spot!
That's it, Fox. Yeah, it's working.
Who are you guys?
We're Star Fox.
You'll never defeat Andross!
We're heading out. All aircraft report.
You did it! I was worried for a moment.
You're becoming more like your father.
I'm fine. You okay over there, Fox?
You can't mess with the classics.
They probably just lost the original sound files and had to record them.
I'm still impressed that they tracked everyone down. I guess we're kind of meandering a little bit here, but I guess to kind of finish this off, what do you guys hope for in the future with Star Fox? I mean, I personally just hope that they make a sequel that's like 64 but new.
Internally
Star Fox
developed
3D 2.
Yeah. Why not release Star Fox 2, but, you know, prettied up?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of Star Fox Command.
Keep Q Games on it.
Is it, though? Is it, though?
Keep Q Games on it, but tell Q Games that they can't make another Star Fox Command, because I don't really like that much. And I just want something like Star Fox 64.
There were issues with it. I don't want another one like that.
Yeah.
Basically, just make a direct sequel to 64.
Yeah,
okay.
Hopefully and it'll either... sell enough, and that can happen.
I think it would be kind of cool if they made a kind of a Zelda clone, but it took place on like a planet with dinosaurs. And you have to find a lot of Baphmedads.
Whatever you do. Okay, here's what you don't do with Star Fox. Don't do anything that's not in an R-Wing. Okay?
Yeah, there you
go. I mean, yeah, I agree
with
that, because the Landmaster section is kind of
suck. One Landmaster, you get the Landmaster. I mean,
dude, the Landmaster does
suck. Big Beth is a
great
level, and that's the Landmaster. The Big Beth is one of the best levels in the game, and it's Landmaster, but just one or two. The rest of it, put it in the R-Wing. That was the problem.
Man, I can never get all those fucking switches.
I mean, one of these days I'll have to get old newscast guy Nathan back on to talk about Star Fox Assault. I don't think that game's as bad as everyone says it is.
It's not. It's a good game, except if it were all parts in the R-Wing and none of the on-foot stuff, it would be a lot better than it is.
The problem with the on-foot stuff in Assault is that when you're controlling the person on foot, it just feels like you're controlling a vehicle. Because the controls are the same. It's just, instead of having some kind of wheeled thing that your character's in, you're just controlling your character. And it's just weird.
And it's just kill all these people and there's no depth to it. There's nothing interesting about it.
What I would want them to do is add, four-player co-op to the main campaign.
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing. Online voice chat, whatever.
Yeah.
So that way you can tell each other to do a barrel roll during the game.
So what would have to happen for that to happen is Nintendo would have to hand over the franchise to Sony, and then Sony would have to
I think Q Games might be able to do it.
Nintendo would never happen.
So.
What do you guys think of maybe a prequel that includes his father, James?
Ooh,
that would
I'd
be
like
pretty
that.
Cool.
If it plays Star Fox 64, I don't care what characters it has.
But then you have to lose at the end. James has to die.
I mean, it'd be like the Star Wars prequels, which makes
sense. That's a great comparison. Compare it to the Star Wars prequels.
As long as they don't mess it up.
And James Fox would have to say, no!
Yeah, it'll be, you'll have four people. You'll have, you'll have James McCloud, you'll have Peppy, you'll have Pigment Dengar, and then you'll have Jar Jar Binks.
You can put, maybe Crystal has an old relative, Crystal's father or something.
There you go.
They should make General Pepper part of the team.
There you go. Yeah,
before he was General Pepper.
Or Rob.
Misa no like Andross.
Or Rob.
I was also thinking, with the on-foot stuff, if they wanted to go kind of in that direction again for a couple of levels, I think they could maybe try and take off Gears of War, maybe, with cover-based kind of laser shooting fights or whatever.
I mean, it could work, but we'd have to give it to the right people.
Yeah.
Namco. Although Namco's doing real good stuff on 3DS, just keep it in the hands of Q Games. I think whatever you do with Star Fox, just keep it with Q Games. Keep it.